It's fitting in these last few days before we begin Lent that the Gospel has, and the readings, have very much been centered on detachment from the things of this world. Or rather, having the right hierarchy of values in our lives, putting God first and then everything else in its appropriate order. Because as Jesus says, we can't be a slave of two masters. We can only obey one person fully, completely. And that person has to be God. And if we're not obeying God, then we are most definitely obeying someone else. It's our nature. We always obey somebody, even sometimes when you don't even realize it. We're following someone. We're conforming ourselves to something, some ideal, some person's rule. And so we have to make a decision. Who or what will be our master? Clearly, God is the best choice. And yet sometimes, almost unwillingly, we find ourselves caught up that so many other things have taken away our attention. So many other things have taken us away from God. And so Jesus gives us some advice how to avoid that. The advice is simply, don't worry. Padre Pio paraphrased this whole thing when he said, pray, hope, and don't worry. What is there to worry about? Our Lord gives these analogies of how nature is all taken care of. And yet the animals and the plants, they're not made in the image and likeness of God. They weren't redeemed by Jesus Christ on the cross, although all creation shares in the redemption in a certain sense and awaits the recreation, as St. Paul says in Romans. But it is us, as human beings, who Jesus Christ died for. And if he's going to look after creation as he does, miraculously, will he not look after us? We know in ourselves that we're worth more than the dandelions in the backfield, when there are dandelions in the backfield. We know we're worth more than the millions of corellas that seem to increase every year. And so why are we concerned about the things of this world when we know that God will most definitely take care of us? Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we say, oh, well, God will take care of us and I'm just going to spend my life sitting down in banana lounges by the pool drinking pina coladas, which one day I will actually find out what a pina colada is. I know it's got an umbrella in it. That doesn't mean that, of course. We need to live prudently according to the gifts God has given us, the ability God has given us to work and to look after, you know, for the needs that we need, those things that we need, food, shelving, clothing, shelter. Did I say shelving? Interesting couple of days. We need to work for that, obviously. We can even plan for the future to a certain degree, in as much as prudent. But we mustn't never let us... be fooled. Never let yourselves be fooled. Never let ourselves be fooled that we are in control of all these things. The very reason that we can do these things is that God is taking care of us. Because we don't know what our future will hold. We don't know whether we will make it through the end of this homily. We don't know when the day will come when God will call us. So we prudently plan for the future, but always leaving it in God's hands. And how is it, therefore, that we can trust God? How is it that we can trust him so completely? So why is it that people, you know, like religious, can just go, Lord, whatever, I give up everything, all the material things, I give them up, and I strive to continue to give them up for you? I've told you all before, even St. Francis, he had such a great trust in God. I mean, he even promised the friars that no friar should ever die of starvation. I've told you that before. No friar ever has, as you can see, that not, some of us are having the opposite problem. But that's truly what God promises here. He will take care of us if we are faithful, especially. And why will he? Well, again, the Gospels and the readings of the last week or so have looked a lot on childhood, holy childhood, spiritual childhood. And you think of a child, or think of yourself as a child, did you ever worry about, you were often maybe hungry and you needed something to eat, as a growing child does, but you were never worried about eating, probably, possibly, at least, especially if you grew up in somewhere like Australia. You know that your mum and dad would always figure something out. You had complete trust in them. Even if you had to wait a little while, even if things were lacking, you had trust that they would take care of you somehow. Why can we not have the same trust, and why should we not have more trust in God himself? You know, it takes a while maybe to really allow this to sink in, but he really will take care of each and every one of us. He wants us to be free, to be concerned about the more important things, about adoring, loving, thanking him, and yes, in asking him as well for those things that we need each day. He's quite happy for us to ask him of those things. Why must we be men of little faith, as several times in Scripture he refers to us? We are men of little faith because we don't have that childlike faith that we need in our Father in heaven. Our Lord even refers to God as your heavenly Father knows you need them all. He wants us to remember that God is indeed a Father, and the most perfect Father. If we have an ideal of what a Father would be, times it by infinity, and there you have God. He will not abandon us. He will not leave us wanting. He will allow us sometimes to go through trials. He will allow us sometimes even to suffer, but he will not leave us wanting, neither in grace nor in those things necessary for life. The first reading from Isaiah enforces that even more. When Zion, Israel, was saying, "The Lord has abandoned me, the Lord has forgotten me," he says, "Can a woman forget the baby at her breast or cherish a son in her womb?" What woman does that? Fortunately, there are some women in our days who do. So Isaiah added the last bit, "Even if these forget, I will never forget you." Never. He cannot forget us. If it was possible for God to forget, we would disappear from existence, because he upholds us in existence. But he does not forget. He cannot forget. His love is perfect. I mean, there is a great deal of mystery here. What does that mean, that God's love is perfect? What does it mean that God loves us? God wants what is the very best for us, and what he wants is for us to be with him. He wants us to be happy in this life, to be peaceful in this life, but he wants to give us eternal happiness in the life to come. In the coming week and in the coming 40 days, after Ash Wednesday, we will have many opportunities to think about our allegiances, to think about who our masters are, to think about how much we really love and trust God. We'll have plenty of opportunities to give things up, to make those sacrifices that are asked of us during Lent, not so much just so that we can make sacrifices for the sake of sacrifices, but so that we can put the hierarchy of values of our life in their proper order. God must be first. He must be our master, so to speak. Again, not a master who wields a whip. He's not that kind of master. Our master is also our Father. We pray always for these graces through all the saints, through our special patrons here, St. John the Baptist, to the revealer of Jesus Christ, the first one, the precursor who brought Christ to the people, and of course to Our Lady who brought him to all people through his incarnation within her womb. She most certainly understood the fatherhood of God. She most certainly understood the divinity and the power of Jesus Christ and his identity. And so we go to them, we run to them, and we ask them, we beg them, that they may teach us to accept God as Father, to really accept him as Father, to trust him with all that we are and all that we have, and to love him, especially during this time of Lent, ever more perfectly, so we imitate him more perfectly, bring him the greatest glory, and bring as many souls to salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.